time. Welcome to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Stephen Quayle and David Flynn. We're talking about David's book, Cydonia, The Secret Chronicles of Mars, as he gets into all the amazing tie-ins between various texts and exercises and what they mean, and geology and all these kinds of matrices. Steve, tell me this. There are some incredible correlations with structures on Mars, maybe, and structures that we know are here on planet Earth. So what came first, Stephen?
Well, in my opinion, and as I dealt with it in Genesis 6, we're dealing with the heavenly being reflected in the earthly, as above, so below. It's what Graham Hancock basically builds his argument on in his book, Heaven's Mirror, which is fabulous, just a fabulous representation. Interesting enough, George, is the fact that the word Cairo, and we know that Cairo is the capital of Egypt, mm-hmm. and where the Giza Plateau is, that literally means City of Mars.
That's true.
And what's fascinating is that when you take the entire constellations in the heavens above and superimpose them on the earth below, you'll find that all of the major megalithic structures are laid out with such mathematical precision that it could not come from a terrestrial-based origin of explorers and people just going out saying, gee, we're going to lay out our temples and our holy places based on just some knowledge we have from, let's say, this ground-based referencing. And so as I look at ancient civilizations and look at the structures, for instance, in Baalbek, which is in the Baqa Valley, actually right now it's where Hezbollah hangs out before they make raids on Israel. But the interesting and fascinating thing is we're talking about stone structures, megaliths, that are in the excess of 1,700 to 2,000 tons. And one of the questions is, how do human beings move rocks, if you will, and that's what they are, massive rocks, and how do they get these rocks moved with the technology that, based on classic history, does not account for the ability to move such structures? Then we go to Mars, and we get the pyramid, obviously, of Cydonia, D&M, and we see that all the geographical placement of all of the pyramids of face on Mars are absolute perfect mathematical reflections of Earth. In other words, you superimpose Earth, you superimpose Cydonia, and they come up perfect. Now, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 19, it talks about that God, he talks about the markers on the border that he placed. And so, you know, there's been this question, how old are the pyramids? Well, Dr. Schock, Robert Schock, and obviously Graham Hancock, and all of the guys out there that have done a fabulous job of showing, look, this stuff is older than the classic historians make it out to be. For instance, every megalithic and every temple in the world lines up with areas in the universe and constellations, and most of them line up in the year 12,500 to 13,500 B.C. So, given those astronomical settings, if you will, how do these guys know with such accuracy? See, the basis of my book, Genesis 6, and this is what the basis of David's book ultimately boils down to, is that the knowledge that mankind has been given came from, in my case, I define them as fallen angels. Others, Sitchin, etc., call them aliens. But the point that is being made is that Cydonia and the influence of the inhabitants, when I say this, the pre-Adamic inhabitants of Cydonia, there was a war. And so when you get into the book of Revelation, you read about the war in heaven, and you get into the Old Testament prophets of Ezekiel talking about the king of Tyre. It brings these two things together in such a fabulous way, George, that it absolutely explains the ancient myths. And you and I have done shows on mm-hmm. that. And that's what we're trying to put into perspective. Now, David has the mind of a mathematician and all the corollaries. And when he's talking about Pythagoras and he's talking about the secret schools, the knowledge that they possessed, in essence, they felt that they hit door number three, okay?
Sure.
In other words, they struck the big Megilla on this one. And so they would pass it on to their initiates. And unfortunately, again, we in modern-day society have forgotten that the ancients achieved fabulous feats, but then we try and put into that context our understanding of mechanics, physics, etc. And for instance, the ancients knew about things like, and I don't know if you've ever had Bruce Cathy on, but he wrote a book called The Bridge to Infinity and documents things like harmonic levitation. And basically, when Stan Deo and those people who understand the way flying saucers are propelled through what's called electrogravitics, if you change the electrical field in certain realms, and the way that it's done, only Stan can explain, but what I'm saying is that you can absolutely change the mass of an object. So we're talking about a fantastic knowledge and technology that came from above, and that word is theurgy, and the theurgy is what we're talking about. So in the book Cydonia, what David has done is detailed every single civilization, every single writer, historian, whether we're dealing with Herodotus the Egyptian, Berosus the Persian, all these guys out there in history, and what they said, and the knowledge that people had in antiquity was so much more explanatory than the knowledge we now possess.
Now, and also that the D&M pyramid on Mars, is there any way a structure like that could be made by nature?
No. There's just no way that can happen, at least as far as we understand geology, because if you look at this Cydonia array, what other structures are in place there that also look artificial, they don't have the same pattern. Say that the face, for example, seems to have bisymmetry, a lion and a human side. That's what Richard Hoagland has been talking about for quite a while.
Sure.
That is something that doesn't occur in nature also. But if you were going to say, well, on that part of Mars, there's winds that actually will shear and actual maybe contour a mesa so that it looks like a five-sided pyramid, how could it also at the same time make a face that looks like it has two sides? I mean, they're not compatible. So what it actually does is add to the degree of difficulty that you would have to have geologically to explain what was going on there. Not to mention the fact that if you look at the star, the D&M pyramid, that is a star, and try to understand it, you realize that the most sacred symbology of Earth, far back in antiquity you go, that's the symbol that they revered the highest. I was thinking that I could probably clear up and pin down what the connection between Earth and Mars is with this name Cydonia.
Okay.
And Steve was talking about Baalbek. Baalbek is in a country that is, according to the ancient historians, the most holy place on this earth because it was on the mountain there, the highest point in the Middle East called Mount Hermon, that according to the Bible, according to Strabo's geography, according to Diodorus Siculus and his huge library that he compiled back maybe the first century AD, he talked about that area as being the most ancient civilization in the world because the mountain that the people lived next to there, or was the mountain that these beings from space propagated from. That was the first place they touched down. And Genesis 6 actually explains that. The river Jordan, the headwaters, are actually at the base of Mount Hermon. And the word Jordan actually comes from the word Yardain, which means to descend. Jordan itself then means the place of descent. There's a book that's an extra-biblical book. It's called the Pseudepigraphic Book of Enoch. That book actually details in high detail about the Mount Hermon and the number of these beings that came and touched down there and actually formed a pact with themselves to start actually breeding with human women. And that place is actually known to the ancient historians as Cydonia. It's Cydonia because the first city was Sidon. Sidon was the son of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
And Canaan was the son of Ham. Ham was one of the men who rode on the ark with Noah. So we're talking about the cataclysm, the flood, and the very first place it was actually inhabited again. But it turns out to be the same place that as the Bible actually explains, that the sons of God came down. So that they're actually colluding again with the same entities that caused this rebellion and then subsequent judgment by God over the whole earth.
Now, do you believe at this time, David, that, of course, as Zechariah Sitchin believes that there was some genetic altering done with human beings at the time by the Anunnaki, the beings that came down. But do you believe at that time that we had humans on this planet who were fully capable of understanding what these beings were when they were coming down?
I'm positive of that.
Okay.
The records are real distinct about it. They talk about three distinct phases of intervention by these gods. And one of the things that I deviate a little bit from the mainstream sort of biblical ufology that looks at this event is that I believe that there were these angelic beings on the earth before the flood epic. They actually had existed on this planet. They had existed on Mars. And they actually existed on a planet that Mars probably was a moon of, which is another one of Richard Hoagland's theories. But
One of the things I think that is important here too, David, is talking about the catastrophic nature. The ancients always believed, George, and this is what the audience has got to, this is really a neat deal, is the fact that when this war in heavens, the war in the heavens took place, is that specific planets were absolutely destroyed, pulverized. And a lot of the meteorite fields and the Oort cloud and things like that we're now dealing with and dealing with all the meteors coming into the Earth's atmosphere, especially in the last 2 months, are leftovers of this cataclysmic nature of this war that took place. And the point of Cydonia being the place where the Genesis 6, if you will, the fallen angels touched down is so critical, because where are we seeing the point of war right now in the Middle East starting? Well, as you know, Hezbollah is in southern Lebanon, the area around Baalbek,
sure,
and they're ready to start. So it's fascinating. The place that began this whole war and the place that the fallen angels touched down is now, again, the hottest spot on the planet as far as people not knowing how to get along with each other.
Well, could this astronomical war, though, been done by, you know, planets colliding into each other as opposed to beings fighting it out?
Well, absolutely. But again, you know, interesting parallel there in the Old Testament when people rebelled, you know, the people that were walking with God would stone the rebels, and God seems to take that to a bigger scale. And when you talk about in the Old Testament passages of Ezekiel 28, and by the way, it's in other writings beyond the Old Testament, but there's this cataclysmic worlds in collision. This is what Velikovsky, Emmanuel Velikovsky, though he was not a Christian, a believer or anything, but what he got into a lot of trouble with is that it confronted his theories of the worlds in collision, confronted contemporary science, and everything in contemporary science could not handle that thought of worlds being in collision. So whether we look at the moon or we see the craters even on the earth that are, you know, turning up now more and more, we see that there was a incredibly active phase in early Earth's history in the solar system where there was monstrous bombardment and destruction in the planets. And so it's fascinating that this is what the ancients were so terrified of. This is what you and I spoke of on a couple of shows ago. When you look at the Mesoamerican cultures, Aztecs, Incas, Mayans, you look at any culture in the world, they were absolutely terrified of the events that had taken place. And there's a guy named Donald Patton who wrote a book on the recent reorganization of the solar system that claims that the last time Mars came close to the Earth and caused a lot of trouble was about 701 B.C., so you start to see some of the events recorded in the Old Testament, and it always comes down to there were signs in the sun, moon, and stars. So what we're trying to present tonight is the fact that with all of now the alien sightings, UFO phenomenon, that there is a supernatural intelligence behind that that is absolutely bringing this planet, in my opinion, and I believe I can speak for David, into a conflict, and that conflict is going to, how should we say this, battle it out on planet Earth, and in a non-science fiction mode. You know, there were over 60 movies, George, I counted them last night, every movie that I could find on Mars since about 1910, there are 60 movies that have been made about Mars. There is no other subject in science fiction that has captivated the science fiction writers more than Mars. And my understanding of that is because it has played such an important role in Earth's history that it's almost like permanently emblazoned in our subconscious.
David, let me ask you, in your opinion, do you believe that the structures on Mars and the structures on Earth were built by the same entities?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. In fact, I think they're synergistic. I think that the knowledge base that was brought to early man from that point where Zechariah Sitchin talks about the Anunnaki coming to the earth, and then Genesis 6 talks about the Nephilim is the word that was used for the hybrid beings that were created from this angelic race that came down and birthed humans. When that happened, a transfer of knowledge was given to mankind. And what actually was going on at the same time was this building around the earth of megalithic sites. And there's a actual record of this in Egypt in a temple called Edfu. It's a huge temple. It's second biggest in Egypt. It was uncovered in 1860. And finally, the inscriptions in this temple were translated in 1870. This whole building is a library that records the most ancient times. And it talks about the followers of Horus who came down before the flood and helped build sacred mounds across the earth. They were doing this, according to the text, in order to somehow project into the future a message. And the message was to bring understanding of the lost golden age of the gods and to somehow, at the same time, rebuild it.
So the question is, and when we come right back, David, the question, and for you, Steve, as well, were the structures on Mars built before the structures on Earth? Did they come from there to here, or was it the other way around? I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com.